You just let us know. And y'all pray for our children that are over there in junior church. Brother Nick, we'll pray for Brother Nick. He's preaching to them this morning, and he's going to try to preach to them while they're all thinking about McDonald's, because that's what they're about to all get. And we got McDonald's Sunday in junior church, and so that's always an exciting time, and doing that for the kids. Proverbs 22, when you get there, stand with me if you would. Proverbs chapter number 22. I thought I had it cool enough in here. I don't know about you, but I'm getting a little warm. Proverbs 22, verse number 1. We'll read one verse. And I want to share a truth with you this morning. Verse 1 says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for the day. Thank you, Lord, for the truths of the Word of God. Lord, there's so many choices that we make on a daily basis. We choose to get up out of bed. We choose to go to work. We choose what we wear. We choose what we listen to. We choose what we watch. We choose whether or not we're going to have a relationship with you. We make so many choices. But Lord, your word specifically tells us there's a choice that we can make about our name. And Lord, help us as we try to share this truth this morning with your people. Help us to understand the choices that lie before us and the importance that that places in our Christian life. I pray that you speak to hearts. Help us to apply these truths. Show us what we ought to do. Speak to hearts. Convict us. We ask these things in your name and pray. Amen. You can go ahead and be seated. Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 1. The Bible says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Now, there's a lot of things that we choose throughout life. Throughout the day, there's a lot of things that we choose. Some of you this morning, you chose to hit the snooze button when your alarm clock went off. Amen. I don't know about you, but I did several times. I hit the snooze button because the flesh doesn't want to get up. But we choose a lot of different things. Some of you chose this morning, of course, to come to church, and that's why you're here. Some of you chose to read your Bible this morning. You chose to pray. You chose to do different things. But the Bible says specifically right here in verse number 1 that a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Many of us will go throughout our day, and we'll go throughout our week, and we'll work a job to get a paycheck to be able to pay the different bills and things, and to be able to spend some extra money that we're able to get, and we'll obtain riches, and we'll go after those things. We'll choose to go after those things, but the Bible says better than going after riches, better than going after those things in life that are materialistic, that will fade away, that'll be here for a moment and gone the next, better than going after those things is choosing to have a good name. And the Bible says, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. Loving favor goes along with a good name. When you have a good name, people will love to be around you. You'll have favor with those that are around you. And so a lot of times people try to buy friendships with money, and they try to buy relationships with money, and they did not yet realize that as soon as the money runs out, their friends are going to run off. Just like the prodigal in Luke chapter number 15. But let me give you some thoughts here. So use your mind this morning before we get into the message. If I were to mention a couple of different names to you, there's going to be something that immediately pops into your head. For instance, if I mention the name Judas Iscariot. Now, sidebar and a little joke for you. I told the young people in our Christian school last year, if VeggieTales ever made an episode about the disciples, Judas would be a carrot, okay? So Judas is a carrot. Ever since I told them that, every time I see Judas Iscariot, I can't help but think of Judas being a carrot in my mind. And so anyway, moving on. Sidebar. Judas Iscariot. If we were to mention Judas Iscariot, you would automatically think of that was the disciple who betrayed Jesus Christ. That was the disciple who sold Jesus Christ to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the religious crowd for 30 pieces of silver. That was the disciple who had gotten so close to Jesus, yet he was so far away. If I were to mention the name Benedict Arnold, those of you that are history buffs, those of you, as soon as I mention history, some of you just turned me off right there. Those of you that are history buffs, you would think automatically of the Revolutionary War. And you would think of somebody who is a traitor, somebody who had turned his back. And even today, the term Benedict Arnold is referring to a traitor or an apostate. If I were to mention the name John the Beloved Disciple, Some of you would think, well, John was the one who wrote five books in the New Testament. He wrote the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and the book of Revelation. John the Beloved was the youngest disciple. He was the disciple who leaned on Jesus' bosom in John chapter 13. He was one who was close to Jesus. So there's certain different people that we can mention. For instance, if I were to mention the name David, you know he's king. He was a man after God's own heart. We're going to get to him a little bit later here in the message. But there's different names that we can mention. And just in that same vein of thought, when your name is spoken, people automatically think of something about you. People automatically assume something based on what they already know or what they assume that they know about you. And so when your name is mentioned, there is a reputation that precedes your name. There is a testimony that precedes your name. I've met several different folks, and I've known of them in name, and then when I finally met them in person, I've made a statement along these lines, and I've heard others make the similar statement that your reputation precedes you. Meaning that I've known about you, and I'm so glad that I finally get to know you. Because I've heard so many good things. Or maybe you've heard so many bad things and you don't want to get to know them. I don't know. But when your name is spoken, people usually get a mental picture of the sum total of what your worth is to them. The Bible says a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Now, there is a worth or a value that is given to riches, and we all have a different monetary value that we place to riches, a different numerical value that you may place to it. But the Bible says better than the worth of wealth is a good name. So, the title of this morning's message is Choosing to Have a Good Name. Choosing to have a good name. There's two aspects I want you to understand. First, I want you to understand the treasure of a good name. The treasure of a good name. The Bible says a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Meaning that a good name is better than all the money in the world. Listen, money can buy you a lot of things, but money cannot buy you peace and happiness. Money cannot buy you that. And the Bible says that a good name is rather to be chosen. Why? Because when you have a good name and you have your dignity and you have your integrity and you have your character, you have far more than the richest man in the world. The Bible says about Job, in Job chapter 1 and 2, when all the bad things were happening in Job's life, and the Bible says the Lord giveth, or Job said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord. And all these bad things kept happening in his life. His wife looked at him and said, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Then she said, curse God and die. And so here she had already turned her back on God. She had already ruined her testimony and her name. But Job said, you speak as a foolish woman speaks. You're acting like a lost person in the midst of this trial. He said, God's given us good things. Shouldn't he also take, and we receive bad things at his hand as well? That's just to sum up what he said. And he said, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And here he chose to retain his integrity. He chose to follow after God. In Psalms chapter 26, verse number 1, the Bible says about David. David said, I will walk in mine own integrity. He said, I'm going to follow after the character and the integrity that I have, and I'm going to choose to have a good name. Now understand this morning that a good name is better than all the money in the world. And then loving favor rather than silver and gold. Use your Bibles with me this morning and go to the next book, Ecclesiastes. You're in Proverbs. The next book to the right is Ecclesiastes. If you don't get there in time, it'll be on the monitors. Ecclesiastes 7, verse number 1. We're going to go to a lot of scriptures, so we're going to hasten. The Bible says, a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. Let me explain this to you here. Ointment we often use on burns or on wounds. Ointment is something that soothes the body. And the Bible says a good name is better than precious ointment. Meaning that when you have a good name, you are somebody that can soothe other people. You are somebody who can help to bring ease to burdens that people have in their lives because of your good name. But then the Bible says that a day of death is better than the day of one's birth. Now, many of us, we look at that and how is the day of one's death better than the day of one's birth? Well, let me explain this to you. When somebody is born and we've got a new baby that's here, when somebody is born, the book is yet to be written on their life. When somebody is born, you have all these dreams and you have all these aspirations and you have all these desires for what a child can be and what a baby may grow up to become. But when somebody has died, their book has already been written. Everything about them is set in stone. There's nothing that can change what they've already done and what they've already chosen. And so the Bible says that a day of man's death is better than the day of his birth. Why? Because now we speak of their accomplishments and the things that they have done rather than just dreaming about what they're going to do. We can rest in the accomplishments and the things that they've done and the name that they've developed because of how they've lived their lives. The Bible tells us that a good name is better than precious ointment, meaning that it is soothing in Ecclesiastes 7:1. We started in our text verse in Proverbs 22:1. The Bible tells us about a good name, that we can choose to have a good name. Go to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. I hope you came ready to use your Bible this morning. We're going to go to several different scriptures. Romans chapter 13, the Bible says in verse number 8, Romans 13, verse number 8, this is the great chapter that deals with our relationship to our government and all the different aspects of that. Verse number 8 says, "Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law." Now, I understand the Bible doesn't mention something about a good name in this verse right here, but understand that debt is attached to our name. The Bible says here that we're not to owe any man anything but to love one another. Meaning that when we meet somebody and when we come to somebody, we have a debt of love that we ought to be able to show to everybody in this world. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1, verses 14 through 16, Paul says, "I'm a debtor both to the Jews and to the Gentiles and to the Greeks also." He says, "I'm a debtor to them." There are those that he had never met before. And he says, "I am in debt to them because somebody has shown me the good grace of God, and it is my responsibility and it is a debt that I owe to them to go and share with them the good grace of God as well." And understand, there is a treasure that comes with having a good name. Not just your personal name. We have a spiritual name, and that would be as a child of God. We are called Christians. We are called brethren. We are called believers. We are called brothers and sisters in Christ. You have a family name. My family name is LeCue. That is the name that my children bear. That's the name that my wife has borne now that she was given to me in marriage. Her maiden name was Thoreau, Brother Miss Thoreau. That is the name that they bear. That is the family name there. And each of you have your family name. And none of us want to bring a reproach to our family name. None of us want to bring a disgrace to our family name. But rather, we want to take whatever people may know about our family name, and we want to make sure that when we are said and done in our life, that we can leave a good taste in someone's mouth. We have a family name. But we also have a church name. Amen. Cornerstone Baptist Church. Those of you that are here, those of you that are members, those of you that are coming, our church has a testimony, and our church has a name in our community and in the area here, and we have a testimony in different places. And hopefully, when you go to your workplace and you tell them that I'm a Christian, that I don't work on Sundays because I go to church, and this is the church that I go to, hopefully your boss can say, "Hey, I employed this person, and they go to Cornerstone Baptist Church, and man, they're a good worker. There's some good people that's over there." Our name holds something here in the community. But the Bible, over in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, the Bible tells us that we are all stewards. And according to verse number 2, the Bible says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." And so faithfulness is in our name as well. Because again, steward would be a spiritual name that we hold. We are stewards. That means we are managers of another's good. That means God has given us something. It is a responsibility that we have. Those of you that are men here, you have a responsibility to raise your family for the glory of God, to lead your wife for the glory of God, to raise your children for the glory of God. And that is a responsibility because God is allowing you to steward them for the cause of Christ. And you're to be faithful in that. You are to manage them. It is a gift that God has given you. And we understand that we have a name that we ought to treasure. And our name will determine what people see in us. So, let me ask you this. How is your name, your personal name? We'll get to all the different aspects as well here in a moment. But how is your personal name? If somebody were to mention my name in town, if they were to mention Terry LeCue, what would people think of me? If I were to mention Brad, we would go to town and I'd mention, his eyes got big, huh? Praise the Lord. I look at somebody and I was mentioning, hey, I know this guy named Brad. He's a good fella. I know him too. I was inviting somebody to church just a few weeks ago. And I mentioned to them the church, and they had mentioned somebody by name that comes to church here. And I said, yeah, they come to church here. They're faithful. They're there every week. He said, I know them. I said, well, good. I'm glad you know them. I know them too. They're good people. There are things that people will associate with your name. But I wonder, what if that conversation would have gone differently and said, well, I won't come to your church because they go there. What kind of name do we hold? What kind of reputation do we have? What kind of testimony do we have? Abraham Lincoln made this statement about our name. He said, character and reputation go hand in hand with our name. And he said, it's like a tree in its shadow. Your character is the tree and the reputation is the shadow. You see, the character of the tree is the real thing. And the reputation is what everybody thinks of you. Right. Oh, honest Abe. Now the question is, what do people see of us? What do they think of us? Now I understand, and we preach around here, according to Galatians chapter 2, verse number 20, the Bible says, for I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I understand that as a child of God, when others see you, they ought not to see you specifically, but they ought to see Christ in you. As a child of God. Amen. But there is no separating you from your name. And when people hear your name, they're going to think something. The question is, what kind of testimony do we have? I want your wheels spinning this morning. I want you to think this morning. What kind of testimony do you have? Do you have a testimony of being a hard worker? Do you have a testimony of somebody who consistently shows up on time or late to your work? Or somebody who shows up early? Do you have a testimony of being somebody who's going to show up to work and they're going to give 110% effort and they're going to be one that I can rely on and they're going to be one that's going to be there? They're going to be one that shows leadership qualities and capabilities and they can get promoted? Who? What kind of person are you? Or are they somebody? Are we somebody who is going to show no character at all? And we're going to procrastinate. And well, if I get to it, then it'll get done. But if I don't get to it, then it won't get done. That's just how things go. Well, there's a lot of people have that mentality. In the Bible, you'll find throughout the Old Testament, especially in relation to the kings in 1st and 2nd Kings and 1st and 2nd Chronicles, you'll find when kings are mentioned, a lot of them are mentioned as the son of David. Now, that does not mean that David was their father, but rather they had character traits and they followed in the footsteps of David when he was king. Remember, David was a man after God's own heart. And those that were called the son of David were kings that were following after God with all of their heart. Meaning there was some honor that God had attributed to David for the rest of his days and even on. I enjoy sitting around and talking to family members and to friends. And one of the most difficult things to go through is the passing of a loved one. But one of the most blessed things to do when a loved one passes away is to be able to reminisce and to be able to reflect and remember the good name that they had. To remember the good stories. To remember the good times. And a lot of times we keep somebody's memory, quote unquote, we keep it alive for years to come, remembering the good name that they had. You often hear me reference my youth director, Brother Joe Tarr. He's the one that led me to the Lord when I was 15 years old. He passed away in, it was 2017, 2018, and he was just in his 40s. He passed away of pancreatic cancer. But he was a man who made an impact in my life. He made so much of an impact when my wife and I got married, even though he was my youth director, I asked him to be my best man at my wedding because he made that much of an impact. He invested his life into me. As a young person. And I learned so much. And I quote him regularly. Why? Because of the impact that he made for all of those years that I learned under him. And now his testimony can live through those that he taught and trained, who then can take that and teach and train others, and his testimony would live on. And it's the same way in the Christian life. We bear the name of Jesus Christ, and we bear his testimony. Understand this morning, that you will either draw people to Christ with your testimony, or you will repel people away from Christ with how you represent Jesus Christ. Understand, there is a treasure attached to a good name. A good name is rather to be chosen, the Bible says, than great riches. See, you can spend your life chasing all the money in the world, but that money is not going to make you happy. But having a good name and having integrity and having character and having some structure and discipline in your life will bring some happiness in your life as you follow after God. I mentioned the different names that we have, the spiritual name, being a Christian, being a brother. I mentioned the physical name that we have, which is a family name. I mentioned our church name. Let me go ahead and insert this as well. Many of you have, all of you have a family name. I was reading a little bit of an article about George Washington Carver. And many of you know George Washington Carver, he was an inventor. And he was one who had invented and developed over 100 different uses of the peanut. The old, not the little planner's guy, but George Washington Carver did that, okay? anyway, he developed over 100 different uses for the peanut, and he was a great scientist, and he's recognized as one of the great scientists of the 18 and 1900s. Now, George Washington Carver did not know his family name because he was raised in a slave home. And he was a man that actually got to choose his name. And he chose George Washington because he wanted to choose a name that showed nobility and character and some eliteness because he wanted to make something of his name. So he chose a name of someone that had gone before and he chose to change his whole family tree simply by changing his name. Now, regardless of how good or how bad your family name may be, you can choose to change it for the glory of God. You can choose to change it. Just because you may have grown up in a drunkard's home does not mean that your family is relegated to you becoming a drunkard yourself. We can change the history of what's been done in our lives and what's been done in our family, and we can change and choose not to follow after that path, but rather to follow after God. And that's a change that God can make in our lives. Understand that one of the most precious things you can give outside of salvation to your children and helping them to be able to understand having a relationship with Jesus Christ, one of the most precious things you can give them is a good name. The treasure of a good name. Secondly, I want you to understand the testimony of a good name. The testimony of a good name. Our text verse again says a good name is rather to be chosen. Now that's the treasure of a good name. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Now the last part, the loving favor than silver and gold. That would be the testimony of a good name. Meaning that as you have a good name, people will begin to show favor towards you. People will begin to cast love in your direction. People will begin to show a little bit of more support in your life because of the name that you have. And because of the testimony that you carry. A good name implies something about you. Whether or not you have good credit. Whether or not you'd be a good risk. Whether or not you are an honest person. Now, would to God we can all just simply be honest. Growing up, I always heard honesty is the best policy. As a teenager, I heard a man of God come in and preach it in a revival. And he made that statement. And he said, no, let me correct that. Honesty is not the best policy. Honesty is the only policy for a Christian. That's a good statement right there. Honesty. Are you an honest person? How about do you have a good business reputation? Meaning, are you going to show up on time? Do you have character in your life? What kind of testimony do you have? And listen, I'm not talking about putting on a cloak of maliciousness. I'm not talking about putting on a facade and being a hypocrite where you're one way at church and another way at home. I'm not talking about that at all. I'm talking about genuinely having a good name about yourself. I mentioned a new baby here. Brother Keith and Miss Sarah had a baby. He named the little man Sincere, right? That's his name. The word sincere means genuine. There's a lot of thought that went into that name. I know there was. Y'all discussed it. My wife and I, we discussed our children's names. There was a lot of thought. There was a lot of prayer. There was a lot of time that was invested into naming a child. I think as a child of God, we ought to be sincere. We ought to be genuine. As a child of God, people ought to see us and they ought to see what genuine Christianity is. Listen, most people today do not want anything to do with God because they see a bunch of people who are quote unquote Christians, but they don't live what they say they believe. Right, exactly right. Mahatma Gandhi, one of the great leaders of days gone by, he led multitudes away under his own false belief system. And he made the statement about Christians. He said, when it comes to Christian, their Christ I like, but the people I don't. He said, if it weren't for the Christians, then I would become one. He made that statement. Why? Because there were those in that day that were choosing not to have the right kind of testimony representing Jesus Christ in such a way that the world wanted that. Now, we ought to represent Jesus Christ in such a way that when others see us, they do see Christ in us. Now, I'm going to mention some more names in the Bible. Think with me. I mentioned the name David. And I mentioned it earlier. David is known as a king. David was known as a shepherd boy. David was known as a servant. David was known as a musician. He wrote half of the Psalms in your Bible. David was known as a man after God's own heart. But you know what? We tend to only remember the good about David. But don't forget, David was also an adulterer. He sinned with Bathsheba. David was also a murderer. After his sin with Bathsheba, he chose to have her husband, Uriah, murdered in the forefront of battle. But let's remember, David was a giant killer. He killed Goliath. You say, so somebody can be known for multiple things? Yes. Whether good or bad, one decision can completely alter your testimony. One decision. Whether good or bad. You can choose today to do right. And if you choose today to do right, then tomorrow you'll not regret what you did yesterday, which of course is today. Every day, if we would wake up with the idea, the mentality of, I must choose to do right. Listen, choosing to do right and living your life for God is not a one-time decision that you make here at an altar. Yes, you make the decision here at an altar and you choose to live for God, but every day and every moment and every single decision you make, you've got to make the choice. How would Christ respond to this? I remember back when I was a teenager. And even when I was a child, and I grew up in the 90s, all right? Those of you that grew up in the 90s and early 2000s. I remember growing up, and there was a thing that was going around. It was popular back then. It was the little wristbands, and even on the shirts, and it was WWJD. What would Jesus do? And it was a popular thing. And by the way, that comes from a book that was written by a man by the name of Charles Sheldon back in the 1800s. The book is entitled In His Steps. And there, in that book, the pastor of the church that's there in that town asked the people of God to try for the next month, for the next 30 days, and live by that question every day of your life. At that time, there were 50 people in the church that chose to do that. It completely altered many of their businesses and many of their modes of operation and what they did with their lives. And God blessed them immensely for it. It's a wonderful book. You get a chance to read it. But the simple fact is, the popular thing of the day was, what would Jesus do? We'd talk about it at church, we'd talk about it in other places, and the little wristbands that went around, and people would wear them, there were shirts that went around. But after a while, it just became a slogan. Right. After a while, it just became something that was popular, and nobody really did it. Yes, somebody would wear a shirt that said WWJD, just like people wear the shirt today that says Not of This World. And it's just something to wear to identify as a Christian, but if you get to know them, it's not something that they actually live their lives by. I know I was guilty of that as a young person. I would wear the little bracelet, I'd wear the shirt, and I would ask the question, what would Jesus do? But I didn't live by that principle. I did, what would Terry do? I choose to do this. This is what I'm going to do, because I'm going to operate in the flesh. It feels better. It's a whole lot easier just to sock somebody when they say something they shouldn't say than to turn the other cheek, right? And Jesus says we're to forgive our brother. What if he offends me 7 times? Peter says, well, you ought to forgive him 70 times 7. We ought to continue to forgive. Continue. But what happens, we have got to make the choice of what we are going to do with our testimony and with our name. We have the treasure of a good name. We have the testimony of a good name. If I were to mention the name Solomon, many of you know, Solomon was the son of David. Solomon was the king who didn't have any war during his kingship. Solomon was the king who had, when he took over and he built the temple, by the way, which David, his father, had prepared for him. My son, we were at Door Knocking yesterday. And he asked me what my favorite story in the Bible is. And I was talking to him. I said, well, I don't know if I have a favorite story. I mean, I love David and Goliath. He said, well, I'm not just talking about the ones that Junior shared. I'm just talking about your favorite story. I said, well, my favorite story is probably the story of David preparing the temple for Solomon to be successful. That's probably my favorite story in the Bible. Because David knew that he could not build the temple for God. But that did not stop him from making sure that the next generation could be successful for the glory of God. And so he still invested all of his time, he still invested all of his money, he still invested all of his influence and all of his effort into making sure that everything was prepared so that when his son Solomon took over the kingship, then Solomon can just get busy building the house of God. That's probably one of my favorite stories in the Bible. And Solomon was a man who built the temple for God. And when he built the temple for God, there in 2 Chronicles chapter 6 and chapter number 7, great revival breaks out under his kingship there for the children of Israel. But you also think of King Solomon. King Solomon was a man of wisdom. The Bible says that his wisdom was unlike anybody else before him or ever since him. He had great wisdom. He had great riches. He had great wealth. He had all these great things that he did. But oftentimes you think of Solomon. Solomon also had 700 wives. Now, in case you hadn't put two and two together, that means 700 mother-in-laws. I love my mother-in-law, but I don't want 700 of them. Lord, help us. Solomon, he's known for all these things. But the Bible says in 2 Kings chapter 11, that because of his love for all of his wives, they turned his heart away from God. And he turned after idols. One bad decision. You see, yeah, he had everything prepared for him to be successful for the glory of God, but he still had a choice to make. What was he going to do for God? If we look at Samson, mention the name Samson, many of you think of, well, he was this strong, buff guy. You know, kind of like most of you guys in here, right? Strong, buff guys. All right. And all the women laugh. Samson was rebellious. Samson would not listen to his parents. As a matter of fact, Samson was arrogant and he told his father to go and get him a woman that he should not have had. He said, "For she pleaseth me well." His dad tries to tell him all this and he begins to yell at his mom and dad. Now we might have some teenagers in here that act like Samson from time to time. You need to be corrected for that. Amen. Here, Samson was rebellious. Samson was argumentative. Samson was a womanizer. If you're taking a look at Samson's life. Yes, Delilah was the one who had deceived him. And he had gotten real close to all the different things that he should not have gotten close to. All the Philistines and everything. He was arrogant. But oftentimes we only think of Samson's strength. We don't think of anything else. We like to compartmentalize certain things about certain people. If we're to think of Daniel. Daniel in the Bible, Daniel was a prayer warrior. Right? Daniel was a man who God used and he raised him to a place of authority in the Babylonian kingdom. Daniel was also a man who took a stand for what he believed in. And when the king made a law that he could not pray to his God, he chose to pray to God instead. He chose to serve God rather than to serve man. Kind of like a lot of churches back during COVID, when the government said that we could not meet, we chose to meet instead because the government wasn't going to tell us what God said we already could do. Amen. Daniel was a prayer warrior. He was a leader. He was a good businessman. He was a man who was faithful to God. And because of his faithfulness, he was able to lead three different men to be faithful as well. We know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Right? Their Jewish names are Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. But we know of them. Why? Because Daniel took a stand and that caused them to see what he did and they followed in his steps. Meaning, just like we're teaching on Wednesday nights, everybody in here has somebody that is watching them. Every one of us are leaders to somebody. The question is, where and to what are we leading them? Where and to what are we leading them? If I were to mention All the ones I've mentioned so far are all men. If I were to mention a woman in the Bible by the name of Jezebel, what would... Lord help us. What would you think? You'd think she was a wicked woman. You'd think she was a rebellious woman. You think she was a stubborn woman with a feminist spirit. A woman who hated the man of God. If I were to mention another woman by the name of Ruth, you would think of a young woman who was submissive. A young woman who was going to follow Naomi as she went back to her homeland. A young woman who was going to stay faithful and going to be able to serve God. And because of her faithfulness, God put her in the lineage of Christ. She was the great-grandmother of David, and she's in Christ's lineage. If I were to mention a woman by the name of Mary, you would think of the Virgin Mary. The woman, the young lady who God chose to raise His only begotten Son. Now think, listen, I understand it's not Christmas, but think of the responsibility that that woman had. Think of the trust that God gave her. He didn't choose just any woman that day. He chose Mary. Because He knew He could trust her to raise His Son for the glory of God. If I were to mention the name Paul, yes, I know, went back to the men. Paul was a servant. He was a missionary. He was a leader. He was one who was always investing in a future man of God. He was one who wrote 14 books of the New Testament. Each of these people that have been mentioned are people that have a testimony that we would attribute to their name. So we've seen the treasure of a good name, but we've also seen now the testimony of a good name. We know our name is our reputation, it's what people think. And we know that our character is the real us. Somebody once said, character is what you are when no one's looking. Let me make this statement here. Understand that you can build a good testimony over the course of a lifetime, but in just a few moments, you can ruin it. Just a few moments. One bad decision. One mess up. One ill-advised statement. You can choose to ruin your name. We often refer to that as somebody who acts out of character, right? It's not normal for them to act the way. They're acting out of character today. Something must be wrong. And oftentimes, when you have developed a good name, people will give you the benefit of the doubt, depending on how egregious it is. If it's a simple mess up, then oftentimes we will overlook it. But the larger the mistake, the quicker we are not to forgive it. The quicker we are not to forget about it. Let me make this statement. As far as a husband or wife is concerned, we've got couples here in the room. You have a relationship with your spouse. You have a testimony. You have a name. You know one another. But if you were to find out that there was some infidelity in your relationship, it would ruin the trust immediately. Right. It would cause you to question, if he's lied about this, what else has he lied about? Or if she's lied about this, what else has she lied about? It would ruin everything. And you'd have to start back at ground zero, maybe even below ground zero, to build that trust up again, to be able to restore some things. Because you can spend a lifetime building a good testimony, but you can wreck and ruin it with a bad decision. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 22, that we ought to abstain from all appearance of evil. That is why, as a child of God, that we preach and teach, according to 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians 5:17, that therefore if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, that old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Once you trust in Christ as your personal Savior, there's some things in the flesh that you ought not do anymore, because now you're a child of God. Now you wear the name Christian. Now you wear the name believer. You ought not act as a lost person does, as a heathen would, according to the Word of God. According to Romans chapter 14, verse number 16, the Bible says, "Let not then your good be evil spoken of." Meaning that sometimes we develop a certain testimony or a certain reputation, but we can be hypocritical because we only put on a facade in front of people. That's right. And our good that we are doing starts to be evil spoken of because what we're showing forth in public is not matched in private. And we've got to make sure that our life lines up with what the Word of God tells us. Your private life and your public life ought not contradict one another. You ought to have a walk with God. And the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 6 that as we pray in secret, that God will reward us openly. Meaning that as we have a private walk with God, it will be seen in our public walk with man. Because as we grow in favor with God, we will then grow in favor with man. Luke chapter 2, verse number 52. So here we see this morning this truth that there is treasure in a good name, but there is a testimony of a good name. So now the question would be given to you. How is your name? As a person, your physical name. How's that name? How do people recognize you in town? What do people think of when they think of your name, your family name? But secondly, let's dig deeper and let's get spiritual. How's your spiritual name? Do you have a spiritual name? Do you have a testimony of a relationship with Jesus Christ? Has there ever been a time in your life where God has given you a new name? Because the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And the Bible says that there's a new name that He will give us according to Revelation chapters 2 and 3. And a new name that's written in glory. And we will get a new name and a new title when we trust Christ as our personal Savior. So let me ask you, do you have a spiritual name? Can you be called a Christian this morning? Has there been a time in your life where you've trusted Christ as your personal Savior? So we've talked about the physical name, we've talked about the spiritual name, and now again, the church name. When we go into our society, when we go to our workplace, and we go to our home, and we go to our family and our friends, we get to invite folks to church. I wonder, do people come to church because of our testimony, or do they choose not to attend church because of our testimony? The question is, how's our thing? How's our name? How's our testimony? What do people see of us when they see us? Do they see Christ? There's a song, Do They See Jesus in Me? Our choir sings a similar song, and it's entitled, I Saw Jesus in You. I mentioned my youth director a moment ago. I'll mention him again. At his funeral, the song, I Saw Jesus in You, was played. Because he was a man that everyone who knew him knew he was always going to represent Jesus Christ in the best way. Amen. Probably the largest funeral that I've ever been to. Brother Thoreau, we talked about that several times. The largest funeral I've ever been to. He had a viewing on Sunday night. And they had a church auditorium that could pack on the floor 500 in the balcony. They could fit a total of 750. The floor in the balcony was packed for the viewing that Sunday night. We drove down there Monday for his funeral, and the church was standing room only Monday. Again, fully packed with different folks. Why? Because a man had a good name, and he impacted a lot of people for Christ. I made this statement several weeks ago. I'll make this statement again. When it comes to the time for you to pass, and your family to stand around and your friends to stand around at your funeral, don't make them lie at your funeral. don't make people make stories up and try to talk and fabricate about good things that they remember. Let's actually give them a good name and a good testimony. Go to Acts chapter 4. We'll wrap it up. Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter number 4. We've talked about having a good name. We talked about the treasure of a good name. We talked about the testimony of a good name. Now let me show you the triumph of God's name. the triumph of God's name. Acts chapter 4, verse number 12. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The only way you are going to get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. Amen. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. In Romans chapter 10, verse number 9, the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, and thou shalt, I'm going to read it. I'm going to go to it and read it to you. You ever have that happen? You got to quote something and it's gone. I'm not even old yet. It's already happening. They say it's a senior moment. Maybe it's just a married moment. I don't know. I'm just kidding. My wife keeps me in check. Praise God. Romans chapter 10, verse number 9. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Then in verse number 13 it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. There is a triumph that is in God's name. The only way that we can be saved is through the name of Jesus Christ. We don't just believe in Jesus, we've got to believe on the name of Jesus Christ. You see, there's a difference this morning between a head knowledge and a heart knowledge of God. I've heard it stated this way, there's 18 inches between your head and your heart. And some of us, we go through the process of having a head knowledge of who Jesus is, but we've never accepted Him into our hearts. And we miss heaven by 18 inches. We get close, because we know, but we never trust. As a child, I went forward during a vacation Bible school at 9 years old in the church that I had grown up in. I went forward because all my friends raised their hand and went forward too, and I thought that's what I was supposed to do. I talked with the pastor. It's right about in the second row. We knelt down. He opened the Bible and he showed me a bunch of stuff. I have no idea what he showed me. Didn't understand a thing. And he said, let's go ahead and pray. He said, repeat this prayer. And okay. All right. He prayed a prayer. I repeated a prayer. And he told me I was saved. I struggled with my salvation, with knowing that I was going to heaven. Everybody told me I was saved. My mom told me I was saved. My pastor told me I was saved. Everybody told me I was saved. But I didn't know it. I went throughout several years, and it wasn't until I was a teenager. We moved from Little Rock to Jacksonville, pulled out of the public school, started going to a Christian school. And I started thinking, man, all these kids are weird. These kids are different. And then I started realizing these kids had something I didn't have. There was something in their lives. There was a reality. There was a genuine. There was a love that they had that I didn't have. There was a care and a concern they had I didn't have. What was it? They knew God and I didn't. I struggled with that all through my teen years. When I was 15 years old, we had gone to a youth rally with our teen group. And I was one of the teenagers. I was one of the ones that competed in the Bible quiz. And I would memorize scripture and all these different things. And the preacher that was preaching was actually Brother Kevin Stevics. He was preaching. And he called on Brother Tarr to have one of his teenagers stand up. Well, I was sitting not too far from him. He said, Terry, stand up. Okay, so I stood up. Brother Stevics had one of his teenagers stand up. He preached a whole message on if you were put on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? That was the title of the message. So he started asking for testimony from my youth director about me and my salvation. My youth director started telling all these things, these works that I was doing. The whole time he's talking, I'm sitting there thinking, I'm not saved. I'm looking, and I'm on the platform at this time. I'm looking, I'm not saved. And I'm thinking this, I'm lost. The whole time during that message, God was convicting my heart. Invitation time comes, I did not move forward because I was just used as an illustration on a teenager that was saved. I didn't want everybody to know I wasn't saved. You know, my pride was going to get hurt. So I didn't go forward. I struggled with it the rest of that day. The rest of that night, I didn't hardly sleep a wink that night. I was arguing with God before bed, telling him why I should not wake up in hell. Okay? Telling God all these reasons why I thought I was saved. The next day at church, we had gone through services. I have no idea what was preached on that morning. We went through all the ministry things. That night, Brother Tar was preaching. And I got there before church and I walked over to his office. I knocked on his door. I said, Brother Tar, you got a moment I can talk with you? And he said, well, I'm studying right now for the message tonight. Can I wait till after church? I said, sure. I've already waited this long. Why not wait a little longer? He preaches the message. Don't have a clue what he preached on because God had already been convicting me all night the night before, all day that day. One of the few times I did not go to the altar. And he comes to me afterwards and he says, hey, I noticed you didn't go forward. Something's really bothering you. Let's go to my office. Let's go talk. We get to his office. And I sit down in his chair. He said, what's on your mind? What's going on? I said, Brother Tar, I'm lost. I'm not saved. If I were to die today, I'd go to hell. He said, what? I said, I'm lost. He said, I thought you said you've been saved before. I said, I don't remember getting saved. Everybody's told me what I did. I don't remember ever trusting Christ. I don't remember it. I said, I'm lost. I don't want to go to hell. And he told me, he said, Brother Terry, listen, you've led people to the Lord. You know all the verses. We'll review it. But are you a sinner? I said, yeah, I'm a sinner. He said, what did Jesus do? I said, he died for me on the cross. I know all this. All I got to do is trust in him. Call on his name. Get saved. He said, okay. What are you waiting on? Let's do it. I got saved right there in his office. He led me to the Lord. I trusted Christ. And I know beyond the shadow of a doubt now that I'm going to heaven.
Amen.
Why? Because there's a triumph in God's name. You see, knowing that I'm saved and knowing there's a name that I bear in me because of God living inside of me, it triumphs any kind of fear that I have, any kind of uncertainty. It triumphs and gives boldness to be able to share with others the love of God that was so much shared with me and with you as well. There's a triumph that comes from knowing God's name. I've got a burden this morning for God's people, and it's twofold. Number one, church people who are living a testimony, but they've never trusted Christ. And then those that are saved, but they're wasting their testimony for Christ. I don't know where you're at this morning. I don't know what your name represents to so many. I can go name by name for those of you that I know, and I can tell you what I think and what pops into my mind when your name is mentioned. But most importantly, if your name is mentioned to God, the Bible says in Matthew 7 and Luke chapter 7, where those have come before God and they said, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name and done many mighty works? He says, depart from me, for I never knew you. The Bible says in John 10, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. It means he knows us by name. And you may know God, but does God know you? Stand with me with heads bowed, with eyes closed this morning. The pianist is going to come. We're going to have altar workers that are here. We've got men that can talk to the men. We've got ladies that can talk to the ladies. But with heads bowed, with eyes closed, I want to ask you a question this morning. Without anybody looking around, I want you to be honest between you and God this morning. If you were to die today, are you 100% sure that you'd go to heaven? Or would you have some doubt about that? How many of you raise your hand and say, I have a little bit of doubt about that. I just don't know. Just raise your hand. Nobody's looking around. I'll pray for you. That's all I want to do. I want to pray for you. So I don't know. I have a little bit of doubt. I'm a little confused. I don't remember. Others have told me. I just don't remember. Is there anybody in there? Okay, so I'll take my testimony. Everybody in here has trusted Christ. Praise the Lord for that. Well, let me ask you this question. And no one's going to raise any hands. Let me ask you this question. How is your name? Not just your personal name. Do people, when they think of you, do they think of a child of God? Do they know that you're a Christian? Does your family know you're a Christian? Do your friends, do your coworkers know that you're a believer? What do they think of when they think of you? How many of you say somewhere in that message, Brother Terry, God spoke to my heart. Would you raise your hand? Hands all over the room. God bless you for it. Let's pray. Father, we love you.